So as we've already mentioned several times, we're continuing our series, and today it is being a messenger of the gospel. As many of you know, in my previous life, I worked for a bank, and my final job in the bank was as a commercial business manager, which is far grander than it could ever possibly be. And I'd never met the head of commercial banking for the bank I worked for, but I always worried that they had this rather worrying obsession with death, because of all the products we had to sell to our customers, the wide range of life insurance policies was quite something to believe. We would have to sell the usual life insurance in case you die. We'd sold a separate policy if you died whilst at work. We sold a separate policy that would pay all your debts should you die. We had a life insurance policy that would give a lump sum to your family in the event of your death. How that was different from the first one, I didn't know. We had one that would give a lump sum of money to the other shareholders of your business, so they could buy out your part of the company and give the money to your family, and so on. And there were others. And for many years now, banks of all types have been found guilty of mis-selling various insurance products. But I can say, hand on heart and in the view of the watching public, that I never ever once missold a life insurance policy. And I can say that with absolute certainty, because I can also say I never once sold a life insurance policy. You see, one of the things that happened is, every time I sat down with my customers and listened to them, I lost all confidence that what I had to offer was worth anything to them. Compared to what they already had and the things they needed, what I had to offer was seemingly a waste of time and space. My manager had a different opinion to that, but this isn't the time to go into that. This morning, I want to set myself the almost impossible challenge. I want every single one of us here, everyone watching at home, to have confidence in the good news of Jesus. I want us to be the opposite of how I was in the bank, and that rather than losing confidence in the message we have, that we would have full confidence in the good news of Jesus, that what we know to be true about our God is life-changing, it is hope-bringing, and it is joy-fulfilling news, and it is for everyone. So let us begin with a reminder of what this good news is. Matthew, in his gospel, gives us a fairly clear definition of the good news that Jesus came to bring. At the beginning of his gospel, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." How confident are we sat here today that that is good news? Maybe not. So we're going to work hard today at rediscovering that joy, that confidence, that hope that we had, that the good news of Jesus is repent, turn around, turn away from that which we have been slave to and turn back to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is that something we can be confident in? Four of us, we're up and running. We've nearly doubled our numbers in the first 2 minutes. By the end of it, we'll all be there. It's going to be wonderful. Throughout this series, we have looked at different ways in which the good news of Jesus, in which the fruit of the kingdom can be found. We want to be messengers of justice. We want to be people who model godly character. We want to mold the culture around us and see the kingdom of God come in all its fullness. Those are all wonderful ways of the kingdom of God growing and advancing in this world. But we also want to celebrate when lives are transformed, when people turn around and know that the love of God was poured out for them, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We also want to see that as part of our ministry, our fruitfulness here at Eastleigh Baptist Church. We want people to know Jesus is Lord. That through his death, he defeated sin. Through his resurrection, he defeated death. That their captivity is over, and life in all its fullness can be embraced, enjoyed, and enriched. Do we know the good news of Jesus? And do we still have confidence that it is good news for everyone? What we see in Matthew's gospel is this wonderful journey that so many of us go on for the disciples. We know that at the beginning of the gospels, Jesus calls his disciples. He calls them and they have this moment of life transforming, life changing joy. There was Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they were out fishing and they left everything. Such was their excitement and confidence in this one they were called to follow. We see Matthew, the tax collector, the one who was a traitor to his people, giving up his ways. Such was his joy and excitement at finding the one. And throughout all the Gospels, we see people having this instant moment where they meet Jesus and the excitement bubbles up inside them and their lives are transformed. I don't know how many of us can remember back to the time when we ourselves, not because our parents told us or because a minister told us, but we ourselves encountered the living God and knew that Jesus loved us, knew that Jesus had died for us. I don't know how hard it is for us to recall that moment and the excitement and joy and hope that we felt. I imagine for many of us, if we'd been fishing, except for Pete, obviously, we would have left our nets behind and followed Jesus. Such was the excitement, confidence and joy we found. But what we also see through Matthew's gospel and the other gospels is that that confidence ebbs away. That joy sometimes becomes diminished. We know that Jesus came to set us free. We know that the world no longer tells us what it is to be worth something. We know that our worth is more than the jobs we have, the titles we hold. We know that in choosing to follow Jesus, that success is no longer a criteria that we judge our lives by. I haven't read that book, but I can only imagine it says something similar. Success is not a criteria anymore. Faithfulness is. We know that in following Jesus, our sins have been forgiven, sin has been destroyed, and life abundant is here for all. But we also know that life happens. And it isn't always as exciting and as joyful and as adventurous as we would like. And as we read through Matthew's gospel, we see the disciples who were so excited that once they left their nets and once they gave up their jobs, it wasn't always that exciting. We see the mistakes creep in. The stupidity comes to the fore. The confidence drains away. Peter thinks he can walk on water. Didn't quite go as planned. We see the disciples rebuking people for bringing children to Jesus because they haven't quite grasped the purpose of his message. Another time we see the disciples trying to pray away a demon and failing miserably. Of course, by the time we get to the end, we know that Peter denies Jesus and the rest of them just run away. By the time he is on the cross, there are a few women gathered round him, faithful to the end, and the beloved disciple stands there. In other words, throughout Matthew's gospel, we see a journey that many of our own lives mirror. We know and see the excitement. We have that initial burst of joy and hope, that confidence that the good news is indeed good news. But sometimes in life, it ebbs and it flows, and it's not always burning as brightly as it should. But having confidence in the good news is not always the same as having confidence in yourself. Telling our story and our testimony should not make people stand up and go, "Wow, you're amazing." Instead, it should point them to the one who is awesome, life-bringing, life-saving. And that's why I believe this part at the end of Matthew is so critical for how we as disciples understand the role we've been given as messengers of the gospel. Matthew reports it this way. The 11 remaining disciples go to Galilee and see Jesus, and he says, "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." What on earth were they doubting? For there he was, standing before them, the risen Lord. Days ago, he was in a tomb, and now he's standing before them. I don't think for one second they're doubting the good news of Jesus, but I do think they're doubting themselves, doubting their own ability to faithfully follow Jesus, faithfully be messengers of the good news. I meet so many Christians whose biggest challenge is themselves, their confidence in knowing that God loves them, that God may have just called them, that God may trust them with the good news. Toby spoke about it so wonderfully at the beginning of the series, those just Christians. "Oh, I can't do that. I just do this. I couldn't preach the gospel. I just..." Fill in your own blanks. And so many of us are held back because we believe we're just this sort of Christian, or we have just those types of gifts. But if I could be ever so blunt for just a minute, that is absolutely rubbish. One of the wonderful truths of the gospel is that you being you is one of God's gifts to this world. You being you, knowing that Jesus is Lord, knowing that he died for you, was raised to life, and sent his Spirit to fill you, is a gift that God is sending into this world. The disciples were stood there, and they were worshipping the risen Jesus, but many were doubting. And because so many of the disciples were doubting, because on any given day we can have our doubts in ourselves, in our abilities, Jesus reminds us all who we are in the presence of. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Put bluntly, if you're sat here today and singing those songs with any sense of sincerity and hope and belief, if you're sat here today knowing Jesus is Lord, then you know that all things have been given him. You know that he is the first and the last. You know he is the one who defeated death. You know he is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And again, to put it ever so starkly, you know that Satan lost. In Matthew chapter 4, he stood before Jesus and offered him all the kingdoms of this world. He offered him authority over everything. Jesus' life was a story that rejected that. Rejected that offer. And it was a rejection that he knew would lead him to a cross. But for the joy set before him, he endured the scorn and shame of that cross. You are that joy. That you would be called children of God. That is quite a story. You may not have all the answers to all the questions that the world could possibly throw at you, but you do have an answer. You have an answer that says, "Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. Jesus was raised to life." And because we know these things, because we can have confidence not in me, myself, and I, but in the one who is Lord of all, Jesus puts his trust in us and says, "Therefore, go. Go and disciple all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That is the church's great commission. That's the task that's been entrusted to each and every one of us. I love that churches up and down this country show the love of God in a myriad of ways. I love that as churches together, we join together for street pastors and Basics Bank and CAP and Fledge and others. I love the fact that our coffee shop is open and welcomes in the vulnerable and marginalised. I love that we do all of that. But I also love it when people stand and share their story of how God turned their life around, of how God revealed his love for them, of how God took their sin away. I love it when people walk down into the waters of baptism and acknowledge that the old has gone and the new has come. I love it when they are raised to life as followers of Jesus. Is there anything more exciting that we can do in church than hearing the story? As Jesus says, there is more joy in heaven when one sinner repents. It is good news that we have to offer. And we are bearers of that good news. It is entirely up to us whether we are confident in that good news, whether we are excited about that good news, whether we truly believe it is salvation for all peoples. Let us have confidence in the one who has all authority, the one who was raised from the dead, the one who has given us new life, the one who said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So how can we play our part? How can we go from being people who sit in a church acknowledging Jesus is Lord, knowing the good news of Jesus? How do we go from that to being bearers of the good news to a world that needs good news? We said at the beginning of this series that there are not many who would call themselves natural evangelists or even God-given evangelists. But there are some. And if you're sat there thinking, well, I might be, I just haven't had the opportunity, come and talk to us. We would love to equip and release people to be evangelists. But what about the rest of us who doubt whether we are or are not? How can we play our part? I want you all just to take a few seconds and think about your own story. Think about the time when you came to faith, when you knew that Jesus loved you, died for you, had given his life for you. Think about how your story played out. And think about the people you might have spoken about in your testimony. The friend who encouraged you to come along to an event, the partner who was praying for you, the wonderful Baptist minister who spoke with such authority. We won't go into that. But the people who were part of your journey, the neighbour, the work colleague, the friend. Just by a show of hands, how many of your testimonies would involve someone or someone's playing a part in your journey of faith? Just by a show of hands. I mean, for those watching on live stream, it's nearly more or less everyone. How many of those people in your testimony would you say 100% of them were natural evangelists, God-given evangelists to the church? By a show of hands, how many would you say 100% of them would have called themselves natural evangelists? One or two hands going up. The reality is that most of our stories involve someone who wouldn't have said, oh, I'm an evangelist. But they played a part in our story. Now, don't mishear me. We can't save anyone. We don't get to do that. But Jesus entrusts us with being bearers of the good news. We all have a responsibility and a part to play. There really is no such thing as a Christian who's not an evangelist. For we all carry the story of the good news of Jesus with us every single day. So I want to challenge you to do something as we draw this series towards an end. And I know this is something that many of you already do. But let's see if we can turn it up to 11 and do it to the max. I want you to think of someone and commit to praying for them. Commit to praying that they would know the love of God. But not a one-way prayer where we send up we don't send up Hail Marys in the Baptist circles, do we? But we send up a prayer to God and say, can you please zap them with warm, fuzzy feelings? But a two-way prayer that prays for them that God would reveal his love to them through his Spirit. But that we would listen. That we would be faithful and obedient to responding. That we would be willing to play our part. That we would know that moment and see that opportunity, not to hit them round the head with John 3:16 necessarily, but to share why we have hope, why we have joy in knowing Jesus as Lord. As Emma mentioned, we want to run an Alpha course in the new year. An Alpha's not a silver bullet. Alpha doesn't make people Christians. But it's another tool in our toolkit where we get to share and talk and create opportunities to reveal the love of God, the good news of Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing if every single person here came to the Alpha course with that person they were praying for? I mean, Emma and Jeremy would kill me for the logistical problems, but we'll sort that out. Wouldn't that be amazing if that person we're praying for, that person we're listening to God, what am I meant to do? What are you calling me to be? This is not about us being a bigger church or lording Eastleigh Baptist Church as some paragon of virtue and wonder. But it is about us having confidence in the good news of Jesus. The good news that Jesus loves us, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that he died for us, destroyed sin, was raised to life and defeated death. Do we have confidence in the good news of Jesus? We had one voice. Good, we're up and running again. Is this a story we believe is exciting and worth sharing? Come on. I feel like I should get one of my Nigerian colleagues up here. They know how to get an amen from their congregation. I'm too white for this. But it is something we should be excited about. It is something that should set our hearts on fire, not because we're always right or we're always perfect or have all the right answers, but because we know the good news of Jesus has set us free. Amen. Thank you, Heather. You can come again. That we would not leave this place singing songs that we know and believe in, but walk out the door as though it doesn't matter. We are all messengers of the gospel because we all have a story to share. And as we think about our own story, my prayer is that we would all have such joy in that story, such hope that comes from that story, that we would want a world that is broken and hurting and suffering to know such love. We're going to have a time of prayer, but it's going to be a two-way prayer. We're not just going to pray and hope that God fixes stuff. God can do that, and that's incredible. But we're going to pray that we might listen, that we might know that for whatever bizarre and cosmic reason, God has decided to put his trust in us, to be beacons of light, messengers of good news, proclaimers of peace. We're going to pray. And then I'm going to ask you to join with us as we sing a really classic song. But let's pray, and then if you're able, let's stand as we sing. Father God, we give this time to you now, whatever is left on this Sunday morning, we give it to you. We give it to you that you may speak to us, that you may reveal your love once more to us, that we may know the height and depth and breadth and length of God's love, that we may be so rooted in such love that we would genuinely be excited about the good news of Jesus. So, Father God, in this time to come, through sung worship, through prayers, through quiet reflection, come and speak to us, Holy Spirit. Shape us, break us if necessarily, but rebuild us and refill us with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite the band up as we sing again. Please stand if you're able. Please be seated as we pray. Father God, there are indeed dark clouds gathering over so many parts of our world. So many parts of our world where war is now the norm, where oppression and slavery and injustice and poverty and so many other words that we loathe to hear, where that is everyday experience. Father God, we are not the answer. You are the answer. Father God, your good news is the answer, that you came because you valued every human person, because you valued the life of every person of every creed and color, that you lived and died for all. Father God, would we be messengers of the gospel, not to fill rows on a Sunday, but so that your kingdom may come, your justice may reign, your peace may fall, that the world may know there is a better way to live. Father God, we pray for your church. We pray for your church because, for whatever bizarre reason, you have chosen us to be bearers of that good news. We pray for missionaries overseas, whether it is our BMS links with Pomoja or Tear Fund or other groups that we know and work with. Father God, we pray for them. We pray that they would know your love so richly and deeply that it would sustain them in their work. We pray that we would know how to best partner with these organizations, that we wouldn't simply write checks and hope for the best, but we would know how to partner with them, that we may hear story after story of lives transformed, communities rebuilt, peace, wholeness, your presence at work. Father God, we pray for your church in persecuted areas. We pray for your protection. We pray for your strength. We pray again that they would be so rooted in your love that these storms of violence and oppression would not wither them. And Father God, again, we pray that we here in the safety of 21st century England would know how to partner with the persecuted church. That we would know when to speak up and how to speak up. That we would campaign for freedom for all. That we would be unceasing in our intercessions for them. We pray for your church in war-torn areas. We especially pray for any churches who have aligned themselves with oppressive regimes, that have dared not to speak up truth to power. We do pray for the Russian Orthodox Church that they may see the error, the sin, the pain that is being caused and dare to speak up and out against the Kremlin. We pray for the church in this country, that we would always be ambassadors for reconciliation, that we would always be ambassadors for justice and truth, that we would always be a beacon that shines a greater, more beautiful way of being through the teaching of our Lord and Saviour, through the narrow path that he called us to live. Father God, may your church in this country always be a voice for peace, acknowledging that no one wins in war. May you break our hearts for what breaks yours. And Father God, we pray for ourselves. We do not do this selfishly, asking for more and more and more, but we do ask for more of you. We pray that today we would know your good news, that we would remember the excitement of when we first heard it and received it, that it would rekindle the flame inside of us. Father God, help us to be faithful, not successful. Help us to be faithful in prayers for one another, not for our own glory, not to us, O Lord, but to you be the glory. Let us hold silence as a church as we ask God to speak to us about who he is sending us to, about what he is asking us to be. Father God, there is no doubt that there are dark clouds gathering. We live in a world that would seemingly be filled with despair and not love, that would be reigned over by hatred, not love, not peace, not joy. Don't let us become overwhelmed with despair. Let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not try to fight fire with fire, but overcome evil with love. Father God, may we know the beauty of your good news, that we may be so encouraged that we would live out lives that cannot but help speak of hope, joy, and peace. Amen.